was thanking the Lord this morning for the privilege it is to have been given the opportunity to be and to teach the adult Sunday school class. And it's worked out for my good. Scott teaches the class too. It's worked out for his good, worked out for my good too. So I realize that daylight savings times maybe caught some people off guard. And then we've got people that listen from all over the country, and those in Arizona, they didn't change their clocks, but we're an hour earlier than they're probably used to us, so they hopefully they'll get to listen to this live. Turn to John 21. We're spending a few lessons in John 21 in our study of Luke. Luke kind of gives us a chronological order of events from before the birth of John the Baptist clear up until Paul was held prisoner in Rome for 2 years there in his chronicles from first chapter of Luke to the last chapter of Acts. And Luke was a part of the story too in all this, even though you won't find his name mentioned, I don't believe, in Acts, other than we and us. But so we've spent a lot of time in the last probably year, I'm thinking, in the Passion Week, when that led up to the crucifixion of Jesus, and then there are 7 weeks beyond that, beyond Jesus' resurrection, where a lot of things took place. Jesus made several appearances unto his disciples. And I'm not just talking about the 11 remaining disciples, but the followers of Jesus. He appeared to over 500 brethren at once at one time, and we'll get into that, and it's recorded in several different places. One of the outstanding portions of Scripture is this one in John 21, because the Apostle John was really through writing John when he finished the 20th chapter. But he'd had, if you look at the dates when this was written, he had about 55 years to think about it before he even wrote it. And one of the outstanding things to John was what's recorded in this 21st chapter, when Jesus appeared to 7 of his disciples there at the, he calls it the Sea of Tiberias, which is also the Sea of Galilee, which is also called Lake Gennesaret in Scripture. Well, let's read the first 12 verses, and we'll get back into it. So John writes there in John 21:1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and 2 other of his disciples. You do the math, and there are 7 of them. Simon Peter saith unto them, the other 6 there, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Well, they didn't seek the Lord about any of this. They just did it, you know. And the result was, they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So you see, he didn't come in a bolt of lightning or real flashy clothes or anything. He was just there. And he, every time you call on him, he's just there. He's always there, isn't he? But they didn't know it was Jesus. Verse 5, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? Imagine addressing a group of adult men this way. It should have been a clue who was asking the question. And they answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, that's the way he writes about himself, he saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of the great fishes. It was his fishing trip. 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And this is where we'll begin. Let's read the next three verses, and this is what we'll talk about today. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. John is writing this from his own perspective, because this was actually the fourth time Jesus had appeared to Peter, and the second time he'd appeared to Thomas. So I want to discuss these red letter words in John 21:12. Come and dine. Come and dine. Has he ever spoke to your heart, come and dine? In simplest terms, this means to take a meal. And in this case, it was breakfast. It's interesting, we find the word dine only three times in Scripture. And all three times point to a sumptuous meal which satisfied hungry stomachs. Think about this. How would you like to have a feast with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the blessed and only potentate? Such a meal and the close fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, would also satisfy a hungry soul, would it not? How would that be? Well, there's got to be fellowship there. It's kind of, well, maybe not today's world, but back then when people didn't have cell phones to occupy all their time, they would communicate with one another, you know. And we talked about this a little bit, you know. Wonder what they said. Where'd you get the fish? No, they didn't say that. They didn't ask him that. Where'd you get the bread? They wasn't interested in the meal. They was interested in what he had to say. So I wrote in my notes, answer for yourself how often you have a feast with the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We find in Scripture those who feed upon milk and those who feast upon strong meat. And the meat we are referencing here speaks of the richness of God's word and the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And the reference for that phrase is in Romans 15:29. And then you all know what's said in Ephesians 3:8, where we find that Paul's gospel all magnifies the depths of the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's strong meat. Come and dine. The Corinthian saints, turn to 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll read a couple verses there. The Corinthian saints, they were not ready to feed upon spiritual meat when Paul wrote them in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. You haven't grown up enough to take in some stronger spiritual truth. Hebrews 5, the Apostle Paul gives us some more encouragement. Hebrews 5, we'll read 12 through 14. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. And Paul here writes, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Then go to 2 Timothy 2:15 if you don't already have it memorized, and you probably are familiar with this verse. The Apostle Paul, he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, two letters. And these letters, well, two letters that we have left for us in Scripture, he might have wrote him a lot more than that. But he was encouraging his son Timothy to continually partake in a spiritual feast. 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, and this is an apostle he's writing to, "Steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." In simplest terms, the strong meat we find in Scripture comes through the magnifying glass of Paul's gospel. Come and dine. Pretty simple. Three words, come and dine. And I want to talk about the thought of feeding upon the word of God in a little more depth. David was talking about this morning in Psalms 119. We're going to hit some verses from Psalm 119 again here this morning. I think all but two verses in Psalm 119. How many do you say there was? 176 or something of them? All but two of them have some kind of reference to the word of God. Thy precepts, thy statutes, thy word, the word of the Lord. All those things you'll find in there. The word of thy law. The children of Israel, we find that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And that fact was allowed of God to teach us many practical lessons in trusting God. They had a little trouble along those lines, didn't they? Caleb and Joshua didn't. But had the children of Israel really believed God like they should have, Their time of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness could have been reduced to just a few days. It ain't that far from Egypt to Israel. Yet for 40 years, God sustained them in the wilderness. When I was in my 20s, there was some smart aleck guy. I don't even remember who he was. He says, well, God didn't sustain him for 40 years in the wilderness. I could survive in the wilderness all by myself. And he went out there and they found him dead, was it 10 days later? So that's a long ways from 40 years, isn't it? So they must have had some help, right? It was God who gave them food to eat. It was God who gave them specific instructions on when and how to gather it. And this food was called manna. We find the word manna exactly 19 times in Scripture. That's the way the Holy Ghost put it in Scripture, 19 times. 19 is the number of faith. Well, I wonder why that word is found 19 times. Teach us a little bit about faith, isn't it? Okay. Manna also is a type to us of the Word of God. And the Word of God is another name for Jesus, the true giver and sustainer of life. The Word of God is our spiritual food. I don't care how many Bibles you've had, it's still your spiritual food. You know? I don't know how many I've had either. I've got several of them. I reference several of them. People have given me Bibles over the years that I didn't even ask for, that I use for references. I probably got close to 10 Bibles in my library of books that I reference all the time just to see what's different in each one. Well, you know, for their commentaries and stuff. So, the Apostle Paul, he knew the importance of feeding on the Word of God. And go to Romans 10:17. We find manna 19 times in Scripture and a number of points to faith. The Apostle Paul, excuse me, he wrote much about faith. And in Romans 10:17, he says, so then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. They're all interconnected there, aren't they? Come and dine. That's what he was saying. And then there's another thought, and there's probably 1,000 of them, but one that we'll discuss here this morning about these words, come and dine, found in John 21:12. It brings us to the thought of meditating upon the Word of God. Meditating. That means to think deeply upon, to reflect upon, to ponder, to think about, to muse. And I guess we're speaking of continually feasting upon the Word of God. Did you enjoy the Bible study Friday night? Did you enjoy the Bible study Wednesday night? Are you still feasting on what you learned and heard? You know, that's what we're talking about. You meditated on these things. Go to Joshua. Joshua, we mentioned him a minute ago. Joshua, we're going to go to Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse. And here we find the Lord giving Joshua, that man of faith, instructions on what to meditate about don't worry about everything going on here, Joshua. I want you to meditate on something. Okay? Joshua 1:8. The Lord speaking to Joshua, this book of the law, that was the only scripture Joshua had. this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein on Sundays, on Wednesday night, on Friday night. No, thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Well, you want to be prosperous and have good success? Maybe there's a clue here. There was for Joshua. How about you and me? Meditate on what? Well, for him, it was the book of the law. For us, it's the word of God. And so the book of the law for Joshua was the only scripture Joshua had to follow as he led the children of Israel into the promised land of Israel, all 3+ or 4+ or 5, however many millions there were of them. Wow. Go back to 1 Timothy. We weren't there before, but go to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And we find some other encouragements that Paul wrote Timothy, who was his son in the faith. He was a fellow church apostle, and he wrote him some encouragements here found in 1 Timothy 4. We'll read verse 13 first. Excuse me. Paul writes, Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading. Reading what? There's only one thing he was getting. Timothy knew this. Reading the scripture. To exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 15. Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. How often was he to do this? How about when was he not to do this? Continuously, wasn't it? So I think you can answer for yourself how often you think about something you've read in the Word of God. When did the children of Israel gather the manna? It was early in the morning. When should we be studying and gathering our manna? Early in the morning, first thing. I got 2 Bible programs loaded on my phone. I get up, grab my phone, open it up, and read a few verses. Some of you read a psalm. Some of you read, like my wife, several psalms, several other things. First thing in the morning, first thing. Well, her day goes good. Till I wake up. I'm just teasing her there. I'll get killed on the way home, so pray for me. But these encouragements spoken to Joshua by the Lord and written unto Timothy by the Apostle Paul are also encouragements to us, because they're written to us, because they're part of the Word of God. They're encouragements to us on how to come and dine. That's what we're talking about here this morning. Okay. The number 9 points to divine completeness. And let's go to Psalms 1. 9 times in Psalms, we find the word meditate. 0 times we find the word medicate. Okay, never mind. That has nothing to do with anything. I'm just giving you time to get to Psalms. 9 times. We get 9 encouragements here on how we can be a full overcomer. And if we're going to be a full overcomer, where will we end up? The divinely completed bride of Christ, who has spent many hours with him answering his call to come and dine. Psalms 1:1. Blessed, that's a good way to start out the whole book of Psalms, isn't it? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You notice in the theme here of what we're finding on how to meditate, when to meditate, and when not to? When not to? Day and night, that's all the time. Psalm 63:6. We're going to go in order here for these nine meditates in the book of Psalms. Psalm 63:6. We read, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. You ever laid awake at night thinking about what? The Lord, the word of the Lord, not your problems. What's the Lord's solution to your problems? Psalm 77, verse 12, is speaking of the Lord here again. Psalm 77, 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all of thy doings. What is not the work of the Lord? And it's all his. He's, you know, meditate on that. Think about it. I am the Lord that created thee. Wow, let's meditate on that for a while. Psalm 119, here we go. There's several of them in Psalm 119. And I told you we would get there again. And I don't think you can ever exhaust Psalm 119. I told you about one time when I was a pilot, this flight attendant was a Christian gal, and she was just a bubble ready to pop. You know, she was excited about the Lord. And she says, I want to get closer to the Lord, so I'm memorizing the Psalms. I says, well, tell me what Psalm 119. I haven't got there yet, she said. I says, I'm being ornery because that's got more verses than any book in the Bible, any chapter in the Bible. But it's a good one to meditate on. How do you think David learned his Hebrew alphabet? Huh? I mean, you know, like David said this morning, each of the eight verses of stanzas is for one letter. Alpha, or whatever it is in Hebrew. You know, that's the first letter. It's got eight verses with it. If you can memorize that, then you go 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Okay, Psalm 119:15. We read here, and I'm sure it was David that wrote this, because he was the one that memorized these things. He had a good mother. She taught that little squirt, the last one of Jesse's children. You know, you got to go watch the sheep, but you're not alone out there. You know, you got the Lord, and she taught him these things. He went up against a what? Was it a lion and a bear and slew him with his own? What? I'd go the other way if it was me. You know, this little guy. Nobody's going to hurt my father's sheep. Mark 19:15. He was out there probably constantly. I will meditate in thy precepts. That's a reference to the word of God. Precepts. And have respect unto thy ways. Thy ways is referencing the word of God in a certain way also. Verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy statutes is the word of God. Verse 48, My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. Thy commandments, isn't that a reference to the word of God? Which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Here we go again, the word of God. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts, in the word of God. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Next time you can't sleep, meditate on a few verses. See how long you stay awake. Psalm 143 is our next one. Verse 5. Psalm 143, 5. I got to remember to watch the clock, okay? Yep, still there. Okay. Well, they don't have a bell today. It'll probably go off right in the middle of the service, you know, but because we're an hour ahead of where we were. Psalm 143, 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. And then there's one more meditate I want to look at in Scripture. And actually, I think this is the first one of the meditates. And that's back in Genesis 24. Anybody ever read that chapter? Because you know what that chapter is typical of to us. It's a bride for Isaac. It's typical of the story of a bride for Christ. And in Genesis 24, 63, near the end of the chapter, Isaac, who's a type of Jesus in this chapter, went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And he knew whose camels they were. And he knew what those camels were bringing, his bride. Think about this. Our beloved Savior and soon coming bridegroom has been meditating for a long time now, is the way we measure time, on the joy that was set before him as he endured the cross. Who is that joy? Well, that's his wife to be. In Genesis 24, 63, it was in the evening when Isaac saw the camel train coming, bearing his wife, Rebekah, who had made herself ready by this time to be his wife. Are we not living in the closing evening hours of this church age, when the Holy Ghost will have finished the work necessary for the bride of Christ to make herself ready? We're in the closing seconds. And guess what? She is making herself ready right now. And that's all of us. We have this opportunity by yielding to the Holy Spirit's leading as she continually meditates upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Word of God. You can't meditate on something you haven't taken in. And there's a lot of things. That was only three words we discussed today. Come and dine. We've meditated on a lot from that, just from that, haven't we? There's a lot there. We're going to read some more here, and we won't get through very much. We're back in John 21. But you got to realize that verses 15 through 19 is probably the best discussion that we have recorded in Scripture between Jesus and one of his disciples. And that disciple we know is Peter. And it's John that's doing the recording here. But these words impacted all of them. And it impacted Peter probably the most. And I'm going to reference you again to read Sister Bodie's commentary on the book of John. You can get it on the website if you don't have a book of John, because she'll give you some different thoughts, a lot different than what I've been giving you. But in John 21:15, let's read starting there. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, no question who he's talking to here, is there? He just narrowed it down, Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Well, Peter, you know, with a full tummy and having slept all night. But, you know, he's glad he's with the Lord. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, don't bother me anymore, okay? I'm tired and I've got a full stomach. No, he didn't say that. Jesus says to him, Feed my lambs. I wonder if Peter said, What? Yeah. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter, he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, this time, feed my sheep. What? Peter must have been thinking, what? He saith unto him the third time, Jesus saying to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, you're kind of stubborn here. Lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because unto him said the third time, Lovest thou me? And Peter, he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus probably looked him right in the eye and says, Feed my sheep. Now, what's being discussed in this portion of Scripture? Love. And we don't have time to finish that thought because the bell, if it was going to ring, would be ringing right now. So I think they'll get the clocks figured out by next week. Maybe, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries that long, and if he doesn't, meditate on these good things here that we learned this morning. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your prayers. I'm facing another surgery coming up in another month, so they found a little more cancer, and the Lord knows all about it. Thank you for your attention.